I've been asked to speak about Nrsimha Dev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in the form of a half lion and half man. The lion part is on top. If it was around the other way, it wouldn't be so fearsome. So I'll speak particularly about Nrsimha in Gaura Leela as we are Hare Krishna celebrating by Srila Prabhupada's mercy Nrsimha Chaturdashi. Of course, it's not Nrsimha Chaturdashi yet, but we're getting ready for celebrating that here in Sri Mayapur Dham, where Nrsimha Dev has manifested himself in a transcendentally, extremely fearsome form to the non-devotees, and a transcendentally, extremely kind form for the devotees. Now, of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came to this world especially for living, demonstrating, preaching, spreading Rajabhava Bhakti, Radha Mahima, Prema Rosha Shima, Jagate Janatoke. If he had not come, then who would have glorified Radha? Who could do that? Only he can do that. But it's not that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as some of his later followers, they almost practically reject anything except Raja Prema. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he personally celebrated Rama Navami, Sri Rama Vijaya Dashami, and he gave direction also to Sanatana Goswami. We learn from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita that among the many directions that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave to Sanatana Goswami for composing a book to regulate the lives of the Gauriya Vaishnavas, that book became Hari Bhakti Vilas. He, among other things, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the direction to celebrate Rama Navami and Nrsimha Chaturdashi. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's celebration of Ram Leela is briefly described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, not Nrsimha Chaturdashi, unfortunately. Maybe in future, as Krishnadas Kaviraj himself says, that Vyas will explain all these things in future. But so far he hasn't. Following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's example, which I'll get through to, I'm going to go through serial-wise, as the pastimes appear in Chaitanya Bhagavata and Chaitanya Charitamrita. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu regularly, daily, prayed to Nrsimha Dev particularly when he was living in Puri. Nrsimha Dev came here, and is still here, came here to Navadvip Dham, took a little rest after killing Hiranyakashipu and all the demons associated with Hiranyakashipu. And demigods came and worshipped him, and he's still there. And that Nrsimha Dev, of course, is famous for killing all the demons and protecting the devotees. Prahlad prays to Nrsimha. You'll find in the fifth canto of Bhagavata. He prays to Nrsimha too, just like Nrsimha, he kills all the demons. So the prayer is there to kill all the demons of worldly desires within our heart. So devotees pray to Nrsimha to kill the little Hiranyakashipu within me. And particularly in his Navadvip Dhamma Mahatmya, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that Nrisimha here in Navadvipa Dham gives Krishna prem. So I'll just summarize there. Not many mentions, but a few are there in Chaitanya Bhagavat and Chaitanya Charitamrita about Lord Nrisimhadev. Srivas Thakur, of course, is a member of the Panchatattva. We're all members of the Panchatattva. Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. If we become followers of Srivas Thakur, we can also be counted. Panchatattva refers to certain persons, but they also are certain principles. So Jiva Tattva is represented by Srivas, and Srivas Pandit was a worshipper of Nrisimhadev. And at home, he worshipped Nrisimhadev. So it's described in Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat that one day Srivas was doing his daily puja of Nrisimhadev with the door closed, door of the house closed. I suppose the door should be closed so that dogs don't come in or whatever. So Nimai Pandit came at that time, and at that time he wasn't known as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He wasn't even known as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was just, if you want to use that word, Nimai Pandit. So Nimai, in his quite typical behavior that might be considered eccentric, he was considered thus by non-devotional residents of Navadvipa. So he screamed out, "Who are you worshipping? Who are you meditating on?" Because of course in puja there's worship and there's with the body and meditation by the mind. "Who are you meditating on? I'm right here. You're worshipping there, I'm here. The person who you're worshipping is here." So Srivas was a shock for him, no doubt. So Nimai went on calling out, "Oh Srivas, all this time I've been here, you never knew who I was. I left the spiritual world and came to this material world because you called me, you and Advaita Acharya. Because of your loud chanting of the holy name and Advaita's loud calling for me, I came. But you never recognized me, and you're just living here, going on with your life, as if you don't even know. You don't even..." So your Advaita, he called me here, and then he left Navadvipa and went to Shantipur. "But I've come for the usual business of paritranaya sadhunam vinashayata duskritam. Anyway, you can go on worshipping me." So Srivas, he got this realization. Yes, this is Nimai is actually that Supreme Lord who I call for. And then he was actually very fearful, Srivas, because he was very fearful of the Muslim government. One time he was running away with his family from some Muslim attack, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and saved him, although he didn't recognize at the time. Just as a boatman, he came and took him across the river. So Srivas, all the fear that had been in his heart left, his eyes filled with tears, his heart filled with love, his body, there was currents of bliss flowed through his body. He stood up with folded hands and offered prayers to the Lord. And he offered prayers. So he offered prayers. He was the first to recognize that this Nimai is actually the Supreme Personality of God. And it was this, as he was worshipping Nrisimha, this happened. Then on another day, the That incident is described in Chaitanya Bhagavata, and the rest I'll speak from Chaitanya Charitamrita, paraphrasing. So, Nimai, he would often visit the house of Srivas, which was not very far from his own father's house, from Nimai's house. So, one time he ordered Srivas, you chant Vishnu Sahasranama, 1,000 names of Vishnu. Because in those days, and even up till fairly recently, it was just understood that every Brahmin knows Vishnu Sahasranama. It's just a normal thing, everyone. All Brahmins, means whether they're Vaishnav or even non-Vaishnavas, at least Vaishnavas and Smartas, maybe Shaktas, not. They might write instead, recite the Lalita Sahasranama. But most of the Brahmins, they would know that. So Vishnu Sahasranam Srivas, he started chanting. Then very early in the Vishnu Sahasranam comes the name Narasimha Bapu, which means who has the form of a man and a lion. Then when Nimai heard this, he became absorbed in thought of Nrsimha. Then he ran outside of the house with a club in his hand, looking for representatives of Hiranyakashipu, for demons and atheists. He became fully absorbed in the mood of Nrsimha, wanting to kill all the demoniac people. And people, when they saw him absorbed in the mood of Nrsimha, actually ready to kill any demons, then they all ran away, not surprisingly. Then Nimai, seeing them run away, he also came to his senses and said, oh, what am I doing? These people are just going around their daily business as usual, and I'm coming out ready to kill them. And he thought, he calmed down and went back to the house of Srivas, threw away the club and said, I made a great offense. I unnecessarily gave people so much trouble and made them very afraid. I've been offensive. Srivas said, there's no question of you being offensive. Anyone who even mentions your name, then all millions of offenses just fly away. Rather, Srivas said, anyone who saw you in that mood, they're immediately liberated from material existence. So that was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the mood of Narasimha. Then he became very satisfied and he went back to his home. And in commemoration of that pastime, at least Srila Prabhupada gave to one of his disciples the name Nrsimha Chaitanya. Nrsimha Chaitanya means conscious of Nrsimha. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at that time was completely absorbed. He was Nrsimha Chaitanya. Generally his name is Krishna Chaitanya. He's fully absorbed in thought of Krishna. But at this time he was particularly absorbed in thought of Nrsimha. Then a very famous pastime is that of Nimai Gaurahari taking a huge Sankirtan party one evening, protest party, to the house of Chankasi, because Nimai had started the Sankirtan movement in Navadvip, and previously the Hindus had not been practicing their religion very openly because of fear of the Muslims. But then they became very bold, and everywhere they were chanting the holy names of Krishna, playing mridangas and kartals and singing and dancing, and The Muslims didn't like this very much, and some of the Hindus didn't either. And they complained to the Qazi, which is translated as magistrate. It means the local Muslim administrative official. They complained that this boy Nimai, because he was very young still, he's spoiling our Hindu religion by chanting the holy names loudly. The names, they're very sacred. They're so sacred that if you say them out loud, their potency reduces, which is a completely bogus idea, but it is also, you'll find that idea in some religions, just like in the Jewish religion. They don't write the name of God exactly. They leave out the syllables. But the idea that no one should say it out loud is too sacred. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's approach was quite different. The holy name is all merciful, so give the holy name everywhere to everyone. So the Hindus complained, and some Muslims had also been complaining. So one night, generally in the evening, people would perform the Sankirtan. It means after their day's work, they'd come home and there's no electricity, so there's no TV to watch. So in the evening hours, they would perform Sankirtan, being encouraged by Nimai. So one evening, the Qazi personally came to one house where Sankirtan was going on, and he broke the drum, the mridanga drum, and said, "Okay, now I'm warning you, don't do this anymore, otherwise the consequences will be dire. Just warning." And then all the devotees, he knew just by going to one house and the word will go around to everyone. So all the devotees became very afraid, but Nimai became very angry and said, what is this Qazi? What is... Okay, we'll go and see him and talk about it. So then he organized a mass Harinam procession with thousands of devotees, which from the external point of view was, might seem like a reckless thing to do, because they could have all been, of course, it appears that the Hindu population much outnumbered the Muslims, but the Muslims had political power and they had force of arms also, so they could have just massacred. It maybe not immediately, but they could have called in reinforcements and just killed them all. So it might appear reckless from the external point of view, but of course Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is all powerful, but the people, they didn't know that. They thought of him just as the Brahmin boy living among us, Jagannath Mishra's son, Vishvamba Mishra. They thought like that. So anyway, they went to the house of the Qazi, who hid away. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called him out and started talking to him. They had discussion on the basis of Shastra, citing both the Quran and Puranas about the chanting of the holy names and about killing cows. They discussed these very sensitive points, and eventually the Qazi agreed that I won't obstruct your Sankirtan movement. Now, in the course of their discussion, Nimai, he was speaking to the Qazi as Mama, addressing him just like my maternal uncle. So speaking in an affectionate way, but the topics were quite pointed. So he said, "Now, I want to ask you a question. Now, you just answer me straightforwardly and don't beat about the bush. Now, there's always kirtan going on under your jurisdiction in this city. You're quite aware of it. There's no question of your not being aware of it. There's always kirtan and music and singing and dancing. We would have thought that as a Muslim magistrate, you'd stop that. That would be expected. You have the legal right to do so. And although you came one time and said you'd stop it, it's been going on and you don't stop it. Why? And the Qazi said, okay, Gaurahari, I'm going to call you Gaurahari. So you just listen, I'll tell you. But I won't tell you in public because it's a very private matter. So you just come inside. And Gaurahari said, no, these are all my personal men. So you can tell them also. There's nothing, there's no secrets between us. Then the Qazi said that, okay, I'll tell you. You know, I went to that house that one time and broke the mridanga and told them to stop performing kirtan. So I came back to my house thinking, okay, now I stop them. I've shown them who's the boss here in this city. But then in my dream that night, a great lion came, very angry, roaring very loudly, but he wasn't exactly like a lion because he had the torso and lower part of the body like a human, but his hands and his mouth were like a lion. So I was lying asleep and he jumped up on my chest laughing in a very fierce mood and grinding his teeth, showing his teeth like this. And he put his nails on my chest and said that, just like you broke my mridanga, now I'm going to tear apart your chest, you rascal. It's all in a dream. You stop my sankirtan, so now I'm going to destroy you. So the Qazi described, I was very afraid, extremely afraid. Then that lion-like personality said, okay, all right, I won't kill you now. I'm just teaching you a lesson, just to show that you'd better not stop that sankirtan anymore. Otherwise, I'll let you off now. But if you try to... I'll let you off now because you didn't do anything very bad. You didn't cause a very great disturbance. But I'll let you off this time. I won't kill you now, but if you do it again, then I won't have any more patience. At that time, I'll kill you and all your family and all the Muslims. And then he went away. But I was very afraid. And then the Qazi opened his cloth and showed, you can see the marks are still on my heart. You can see that. So he didn't know about Nrsimha. He didn't know descriptions of Nrsimha because he was a Muslim. But he got darshan of Nrsimha. It doesn't even say directly in Chaitanya Charitamrita, this is Nrsimha, because the readers, they can understand that Nrsimha Dev came and protected the devotees who are performing Sankirtan. So this gives us great hope that if we go on performing Sankirtan, that even though definitely there will be many demons who want to stop that, but we can go on and Nrsimha Dev will protect. Then, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after accepting sannyas, he went to Puri. From Puri, he set out towards South India, and quite early in his South Indian tour, he came to the temple of Jir Nrsimha, at the what is now just outside the city known as Vishakhapatnam in Andhra Pradesh. So he went there, he climbed the hill, and he very happily danced and chanted before Nrsimha, and specifically as mentioned, he chanted Shri Nrsimha, Jai Nrsimha, Jai Jai Nrsimha, Prahladesha Jaya Padma, Mukha Padma Bringha. All glories to Nrsimhadev. Shri Nrsimha, Jai Nrsimha. Shri Nrsimha means Lakshmi with Nrsimha, Jai Nrsimha, all glorious Nrsimha. Prahladesh, the Lord of Prahlad, and Padma Mukha, Padma Bringha. So just like the Padma, his wife, the goddess of fortune, lotus born, she's always beholding his lotus face, just like the bees always go around the lotus flowers. Then also at that temple, and of course he must have been to so many Nrsimha temples in his tour, especially in South India, but they're not all mentioned there in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So also quoted there is a verse by that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recited, a verse by composed by Sridhar Swami, the original commentator on Srimad Bhagavatam. And Sridhar Swami was a devotee of Nrsimhadev. So throughout his commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, he's written many prayers to Nrsimhadev, and one of them that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has recorded as reciting is Uko Pyanugra Evayam Svabhaktanam Nrikeshari Keshariva Svaputanam Manyesham Ugra Vikramaha. Although the lioness is extremely fearful, ferocious, ugra, ferocious, she's very kind to her little cubs. Similarly, although Hiranyakashipu and other demons, Nrsimhadev is very, it doesn't specifically mention him, Nrsimha is very fierce toward them, but he's very soft and kind to his devotees, like Prahlad Maharaj. Then, yes, when Lord Chaitanya was living in Puri, which was most continuously for 18 years, with just time to time he would go out to Alalanath. But most of the year, for every year he lived in Puri, every day he would go for darshan. He would go to Jagannath temple for darshan. And entering the temple, above the Baishpahaj, that's the at the lion gate at the entrance, there are 22 steps. So just there, is at the entrance, is the deity of Lord Nrsimha. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, daily as he entered the temple, he would recite the following verses again and again while offering obeisances to Nrsimhadev. These verses are from Nrsimha Purana. You all know them. Namaste Narasimhaya Prahlada Lada Dayine Hiranyakashiporvakshashila Tankanakhalaya Ito Nrsimhav Parato Nrsimho Yato Yato Yami Tato Nrsimha Bahe Nrsimho Hridaye Nrsimho Nrsimhamadim Sharanam Prapade. Offering obeisances to the man lion form, who is the giver of bliss to Prahlad. Prahlad, his very name means very blissful. Hiranyakashipu named him that, thinking that he would be blissful in the false bliss of demoniac material enjoyment, but who actually gave bliss to Prahlad is Nrsimhadev, who, with his nails, which are just like chisels, he attacked or broke the chest of Hiranyakashipu. Nrsimha is here, Nrsimha is there. Wherever I go, there is Nrsimha. He's outside. He's within the heart. To that original, the original personality of Godhead, Nrsimha, I surrender and take shelter. Now, again, Nrsimhadev is mentioned in one pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Who would spend the nights in the Gambhira, his small room, in Puri. And for most of the night, Ramananda Rai and Swarup Damada, they would be with him, and toward the end of the night they'd go, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was supposed to take a little rest. But then sometimes he'd run out somehow or other, he'd go outside. So anyway, Shankara Pandit was appointed to be with him, to be with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and to try to help him to rest. And the door would be locked, because otherwise Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would run out, and in his exit, he don't know where he'd go or what he was doing. But one night, despite the door being locked, he got out. And then the devotees, they couldn't find him at all. So toward the end of the night, they were looking here and there, and they thought, well, maybe he went in the sea. Because often he would mistake the sea for the Yamuna. So they looked along the coast, and they were walking up and up the coast. They went quite some distance up the coast. They were becoming hopeless of finding him. They thought, maybe we lost him all, because they're always very afraid that in his ecstasy he had just run off, and he might never see him again, because he's just not in what would be called normal sane consciousness. So they were very afraid that they started to become hopeless of finding him at all. So Swarup Damodar and various other devotees, they were looking and looking, and they became very distressed. We can't find him. We looked all over all around the temple, and we looked all along the coast. We can't find him, but they still continue to walk, because they wanted to find him. Then they saw coming from the other direction a fisherman with his net over his shoulder, which is not an unusual thing, because fishermen often go out at night in the sea, especially if it's very hot in the daytime. So he was walking along with his nets over his shoulder, but he was behaving very strangely. He was laughing, crying, dancing, and singing, calling out loudly, "Hari, Hari!" So they wondered what was going on, and the devotees wondered what was going on. So Swarup Damodar, who's always very level-headed and knew how to deal with each situation, he asked the fisherman and said, "What's going on? Why are you acting like this? Have you seen something strange? Tell us." Because Swarup Damodar could immediately ascertain, if he's behaving like this, it's quite likely he's seen our Gauranga, who we're looking for. I mean, why do people behave like that? It's only if they see him, they have some contact with him. The fisherman, "Have you seen anyone?" Swarup asked. "No, I haven't seen anyone, but I did get a ghost. When I was fishing, all of a sudden I found my net had become very heavy, and I thought, oh, now I got a really big fish. And I pulled it up. It was very heavy, but I pulled it up. Then I saw it's a dead body when I pulled it up. And accidentally I touched that dead body. And as soon as I touched it, a ghost entered my heart. And all my normal consciousness went away. And I started, my body started shivering and trembling, and my hairs are standing on end. You say, I'm feeling very afraid. So on the one hand, he was, by touching Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because it was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who was that apparent dead body, who had fallen in the sea, considering it to be Yamuna, he'd fallen in the sea in ecstasy, and he was unconscious under the water. But the fisherman thought he's a dead body, and then he pulled him up, and he thought, he was so afraid that that the ghost had entered his body, that he didn't even recognize the symptoms of ecstasy, of love of Krishna, that had actually entered him. So he said, I don't know, maybe the dead body was, you know, is there some powerful Brahmin, and this ghost has entered me, because what happened, you see, I go out at night and I catch so many fish, and at night of course so many ghosts are around, but I always chant the names of Nrsimha, and then the ghosts can't affect me. So when I found myself being attacked by this ghost, I chanted out the name of Nrsimha, but all the symptoms increased. The more I chanted the names of Nrsimha, the more the ghost's effect became more and more and more. It's very strange. Dead body, it makes it making some sound, gong gong, and all the arms and the legs, that the joints are disconnected, so there's only skin in between. So Sarup Damodar could immediately understand what is going on. The fisherman is saying, what am I going to do? You know, I ain't got a family to support, and I've gone mad. I'm haunted by a ghost, and what am I going to do? So Sroop said, don't worry. Luckily for you, I'm a famous exorcist. So just calm down. Then Sroop put his hand on the fisherman's head, chanted some mantras, slapped him 3 times, and said, now, don't worry, the ghost has gone away. And then the fisherman, because he wasn't actually haunted by a ghost at all, but because of fear, he thought he was. So then he calmed down, said, okay, thank you. So then Sroop said, so can you take us and show us that dead body? Because actually I can understand, it's not a dead body at all, it's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And his fisherman said, no, I don't think I saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so many times from a distance, dancing in the streets and this, but he didn't look like this. His body's all white, and all the legs and the hands are all disconnected. Sroop said, anyway, just take us. And so then they went and they picked him up and revived him back to consciousness. So there's another mention. And also, we find that among the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one devotee who was so powerful in his love for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he personally was able to call him to Bengal even when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wasn't coming. He was a great devotee of Lord Nrsimhadev. His name was originally Pradyumna Brahmachari. But due to his great devotion for Nrsimha, his given name was Pradyumna, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called him Nrsimhananda, Nrsimha Brahmachari. So that's also mentioned, how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had promised to come to Bengal one year. He said, you don't all, every year you're coming with so much difficulty, all the devotees coming to coming all the way to Puri, so you don't take so much trouble. Next year I'll go to Bengal. But he didn't come. day after day after day, devotees are waiting, then Nrisimha, Pradyumna Brahmachari, happened to come, finding all the devotees very morose. He said, I'll call him. Within 3 days he will come. So he made offerings of food to Nrisimha, deity he was worshipping, to Jagannath, and to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then he said, he told, you see, he came, he had it all, but we didn't see. No, he came. So they weren't very satisfied. But then when next, so yeah, then Nrisimha, his deity, was complaining that, you see, your Gauranga is eating all the food. He's supposed to be offered to me. So like this, there are so many pastimes in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Nrisimha Dev is mentioned there in Navadvip Dham Mahatmya also. So he's very important for us as the protector of the devotees, and who helps us to clean all the dirty things from the heart so that we can actually receive Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. Hare Krishna. I'll finish there. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Does anyone have any questions? Please, comments, anything.
Hare Krishna, thank you. Hare Krishna, thank you, Maharaj. Maharaj, I have heard that Narsinghananda Brahmachari, he has another name, Nakul Das Brahmachari also.
No, Nakul Brahmachari is someone else.
But the deities, they are worshipped in like near Ambika Kanga, I get that.
Yeah.
They are in Narsingha Sila, and they
say
that he was
worshipping Narsingha Sila. Nakul Brahmachari in Gaur Leela is not the same as Narsingha Brahmachari. Even if the local people say that, it's not true. Many people say many things, but they're clearly different personalities.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna Maharaj. Shivas Thakur was a Grihastha. And how is that we hear that Grihastha should not worship Lord Nrisimhadev?
Why do we hear that Grihastha shouldn't worship Lord Nrisimhadev? There's nothing that, there are so many Grihasthas who traditionally worship Nrisimhadev. In fact, most of the worshippers of Nrisimhadev are Grihasthas. There's so many temples in South India, and there's all it's all Grihasthas worshipping them. When this Nrisimha came here, Atmatattva Prabhu was instrumental in bringing him. He said this, the artist, the sculptor who made the deity was Stapati. That he said that who is going to worship this deity? Because it's so ugra that anyone, Grihastha can't worship. Because Grihasthas, they're also cultivating, maybe not cultivating exactly, but they have some, in Srila Prabhupada's language, license for sense gratification. So I don't know if there's any such rule like that in Shastra, but that came from the Stapati who made the deity. That idea came via Atmatattva Prabhu. So maybe a very strict Grihastha could worship. But otherwise there are other forms, because this deity is Ugra, very fierce. So this is the form that devotees also pray to take away the material desires in our hearts. Otherwise, generally Nrisimha, I said just now that there are so many temples of Nrisimhadev, just like it's mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita. I just meant that, read that, Jiya Nrisimha. So that form is not Ugra. There are 9 famous forms, and Ugra is only one of them. So more peaceful forms, these non celibates or non-renunciants, they worship. But particularly this form, it's at least coming from that Stapati. But I wouldn't discount what that Stapati said either, because they do know the tradition. They're very traditional kind of people. They make temples and deities exactly according to Shastric descriptions. And although everything may not be in Shastra, that actually everything is in Shastra, but many things are lost also, but many things are preserved in tradition, which is one reason why tradition is one of the traditional sources of Praman, evidence, as stated by Krishna himself in the Bhagavatam.
I have another question. The fisherman was a Muslim or was a Vaishnava? Because you mentioned
it appears he was a Hindu. Usually in Chaitanya Charitamrita, if someone's a Muslim, they specifically say, by calling them Jovan or Mlecha. Still all over India, the fisherman caste is mostly, even in Bangladesh, they're mostly Hindus. Most Hindus in Bengal and Orissa are fish eaters. If you just look outside the gates of this compound, he was chanting the Nrisimha mantra for protection. He might have been a Vaishnava of sorts. In Bengal, the Vaishnava, the fishermen, they identify themselves mostly as Vaishnavas. In a broad sense, very broad sense. That might be difficult for you to understand, because we think that a Vaishnava is not a fish eater. Well, that's true, but in the social sense, the people, fishermen, they may chant Hare Krishna also, and identify themselves as Vaishnavas. So we can say in a broad sense there were Vaishnavas. But it may be, it's not that everyone who chants Nrisimha's name is a Vaishnava. Just like this Vishnu Sahasranama, I just said that the smartas, nowadays the smart, probably more than the Vaishnavas, it's the smarter Brahmanas who are chanting Vishnu Sahasranama, mostly in South India. But their idea is that by chanting the name of Vishnu you get liberation. Vishnu is one of five gods. That's their understanding. So it's not that everyone who's worshipping Vishnu is a Vaishnava. Not exactly. You'll find people who worship Krishna thinking that Sai Baba is Krishna. Are they Vaishnavas? Hardly. Jarasandha worshipped Vishnu and he wanted to kill Krishna. Officially he did the worship. So there are still so many fishermen at Puri today. And no doubt they all worship Jagannath also. In fact, most of the people in Orissa, they eat fish and they also worship Jagannath. So we can preach to them to stop eating fish. They're doing something good, but something else not so good. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So,
Hare Krishna.
Books written by Guru Maharaj are available at the stall.
Speak a little.
Hare Krishna.
Loudly.
Hare Krishna. So books written by Guru Maharaj are available at the stall.
By Bhakti Vikas.
Is it Bhakti Vikas Maharaj?
Not the guru of everyone.